Welcome to episode 11 of Working Title Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Paul Kane. Pour yourself a cup of tea and relax in your favorite chair as I interview cozy mystery author Maggie King. Her latest novel in the Hazel Rose Book Group mystery series is Murder at the Moonshine Inn. We discuss true crime, mystery writing, and book clubs, as well as answer readers' questions. Enjoy! Appreciate you joining me.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you for asking me, Josh.
Well, excellent. So, first question, have you ever solved a real-life crime?
No, I can't say that I have. I write fiction, and it's very much fiction.
Well, that's
it's not based on real experience.
Okay. Has there ever been an intriguing real-life crime that you've wanted to solve? Anything that you say, well, the cops seem to be stumped. I wonder what the solution might be.
Well, of course, the Black Dahlia was way before my time, but that would have been a great crime to have solved.
That was in L.A., right? Wasn't that,
yes, mm-hmm. Yes, that was in Los Angeles. It happened in 1947, and it's still unsolved.
That's where the young woman was butchered. Her body was butchered, right?
Yes, yeah, it was bisected.
Oy. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Have you read much into that, like the true crime books about that murder?
I have. Yes, I've read about that, and I've even read about. There's a policeman. His name is, I believe, Steve Hodell,
mm-hmm.
and he's an L.A. cop. And his father was a doctor who knew the Black Dahlia. Her name was Elizabeth Short, actually. And Steve Hodell is determined that his father killed her.
Oh my!
And he's written at least two books about this. I've read one of them, but he has pretty compelling evidence. That happened. Of course, you know, his father's long deceased,
mm-hmm.
but he's put this forth.
Oh my goodness, that's remarkable to insist that your father is a murderer.
Yes, I know.
Oh,
I
man.
Know. Yeah, okay. Imagine what his childhood was like.
Goodness. Oh man,
talk about dysfunctional families.
Yes, for sure. Do you read a lot of true crime books for inspiration, or do you conversely try to avoid that kind of stuff so it doesn't kind of muddy mm-hmm. your thinking?
I've read true crime, but it's not been something that I've read a lot. I read a lot of cozy mysteries. I read police procedurals and private investigators. I don't read. Like psychological, you know, something really psychological suspense, because it's just too, I don't know, creepy. And I don't like anything that gives me nightmares.
Oh, sure.
So.
Now, here's a question from your readers. There's two that they kind of touch upon each other, so I thought it'd be best to put them both out there at once. So one's from Rosalind. How did you learn how to write mysteries and what led up to it? And then Iris asks, can you define what a cozy mystery is and why you chose to write in that subgenre?
Okay. I started writing mysteries. Of course, as a child, I was a devotee of Nancy Drew. And I actually wrote mysteries when I was in grammar school. And I read them to my friends while we were walking home every day. And then I abandoned mystery writing for many years. I got involved in other things, probably, for one thing, boys. that went off of writing mysteries. And during the last year I lived in Los Angeles, this was in the 1990s, three of my coworkers took creative writing classes at UCLA Extension. I read their work and I was impressed, but I also thought, if they can do this, so can I. And at the time, I belonged to a mystery book group that turned out to be a model for the Murder on Tour group in my Hazel Rose book group series. And in this book group, I felt confident that I could turn out a mystery. And when I moved to Virginia in 1996, I took a writing course at the University of Virginia, and that reawakened my love of writing. I took more classes and started writing on a regular basis, and it just seemed very natural that it should be mysteries that I would write.
And how,
okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, then you wanted to. Iris asked about a cozy.
Yes. What is a cozy mystery?
Okay, a cozy mystery. Whoa, it's kind of a loaded question. Well, generally, very simply, it's a mystery that doesn't contain explicit sex or excessive gore or violence. It's usually an amateur sleuth solves the crime. More often than not, the amateur sleuth is a woman. The crime and detection, they usually take place in a small community, and sex, violence, and profanity are downplayed, and they're strictly, off the page.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I mentioned nightmares before. You probably won't get nightmares from reading them. The tone is the key. It's kind of a lighter tone. Sometimes they're very humorous, but sometimes they're darker. Mine tend to be darker,
mm-hmm.
but there is humor in them. But they're not. I call cozies either sort of the light fluffy type or sort of the darker, which are also called edgy. They're also called traditional mysteries.
Oh, okay.
Have I answered those questions? Okay.
You covered everything. She was wondering why that subgenre, but I guess because of nightmares, you wanted to be a more less violent type of mystery than others. Not like
a there's more emphasis on the puzzle. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, she also wanted to know why I write them. Okay, so that's what I didn't quite get to. Well, I'm more interested in the puzzle, like, who done it,
mm-hmm.
why they did it, and about relationships, because murder mysteries are really about relationships, the kind of relationships that have gone awry. Cozy mysteries there isn't like any emphasis on forensic detail.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I like reading police procedurals, and I like reading about private investigators, but I don't really want to write them because when you write, you're spending a lot of time with the characters and your story, and I don't want to spend too much time in a lot of darkness.
That's perfectly reasonable. Imagine that.
So I like more emphasis on relationships and how people solve a murder through exploration of these relationships.
It sounds like Murder, She Wrote, right? Is that considered?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Murder, She Wrote is the prime example of a cozy. Also, Agatha Christie.
Mm-hmm.
And, there are many, many cozy writers these days.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always thought the real murderer was Angela Lansbury in that series. Everywhere she went, people died. So.
Exactly. Exactly. That's always, in a series, especially in a series with an amateur sleuth, that's always, it's kind of a running joke, especially if you're in a small town, like there's always somebody being murdered.
Is there a cozy mystery series you're especially fond of, or a character, a detective that you really enjoy reading?
Well, I like Susan Wittig Albert. She has a series, the China Bales Herbal series, and China Bales is a retired attorney, and she moves to a small town in Texas and starts an herbal. It becomes kind of an herbal empire. She started out with a small herbal shop.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah. She's very good. And then I also like Jillian Roberts, her Amanda Pepper series, which she discontinued several years ago. But it's a wonderful series. Amanda Pepper is a teacher a high school teacher in Philadelphia. She's an English teacher, and it's a very good series.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
Your reader Glenn asks, do you model your characters after real-life people?
To a certain extent, I do. Nobody is exactly like somebody in real life. They're really more composite characters.
Mm-hmm.
I take a little from this person, maybe a little from that person, and you know, I've known so many people in my life that they're bound to show up in some form on the page.
Now, your latest book is Murder at Moonshine Inn,
mm-hmm.
which I had read and liked.
Okay.
You want to describe it really quick?
Okay. Well, essentially, Murder at the Moonshine Inn, it's a tale of family, money, betrayal, a book group, a redneck bar. Hazel Rose is asked to find out who killed a high-powered executive in the parking lot of a redneck bar. And at first, Hazel doesn't want to do it. She says no. She says she's a romance writer. She's not a detective. But Brad Jones, the victim's husband, is the prime suspect, and he's also Hazel's cousin. Hazel believes in doing anything to help family.
Mm-hmm.
Never, and it doesn't matter that Brad won't give her the time of day. He's still family. Hazel recruits her book group members to help with the investigation, and she goes undercover to the bar where the victim was killed. She gets to witness firsthand how much money matters and how some will stop at nothing to get their hands on it.
Mm. Excellent. Now, reading this book, I thought it was novel, maybe because I haven't read many mysteries, but it seemed an interesting take to me was that you involve the book club. So that Hazel and her book club collaborate in solving the mystery.
Right.
Now, where did that idea come from? And I think it's pretty clever. But
oh, okay. Well, I like the idea of a book group, and it seems like it would be more realistic to maybe, especially if you're an amateur, to solve the mystery with a group of people, especially since this particular group, they're very well connected in the community. Lucy, she's a business executive, and Sarah is she's a retired English teacher, and she's a community volunteer. And then there's Trudy and Eileen, they're librarians. And then Hazel's a romance writer. And so between them, they know just about everybody who they might have to question, you know, who are either suspects or witnesses. And so it works out very well, and that way it isn't just Hazel having to do everything, having to do all the solving.
Sure, and naturally she's cautious about her own life being in danger.
Yeah.
And kind of spread out the risk.
Yes, right, exactly, spread out the risk.
Very clever. Now, do you belong to a book club yourself?
No.
Oh, no? Okay. I assumed you would say yes. Okay.
Yes, you would think so. No, I have belonged to many book groups.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I don't was because it took me a very long time to write my first book, Murder at the Book Group.
Mm-hmm.
It took me many years, and because I was working, I had a day job, and I was often in two book groups at once. And when you're in book groups, you know, you have to read the books, you know, that are assigned for the month, and it was just too much. And I finally came to the conclusion that the only way that I could write Murder at the Book Group was to give up book groups. So now I visit book groups as an author. In fact, I'm going to one in Ashland on Friday. And, you know, that's great. And I would actually like to get back into a book group, but I have so little time to read now that I write more often, mm-hmm. That when I do read, I want to read what I want to read.
Sure, sure.
Not what's been assigned by a book group. So, but that's that gets into the theme book groups, which is what the Murder on Tour book group is. It's a theme group. And so they read based on geography. They might be reading books that are all set in Florida, or in Murder at the Moonshine Inn, they're reading books set in the ancient world. And so with the theme book group, you don't have to worry about people hating the book, which happens a lot in book groups. There's somebody who violently hates the book. Doesn't even want to talk about it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned having a book group coming up where you're going to be speaking. Is that something you do often now? Do you get in front of book groups to talk about your book?
I do. I don't do it as often as I would like to, mm-hmm. but I do every so often. I think I probably did it more with Murder at the Book Group than I do with Murder at the Moonshine Inn. And I have visited by book groups by Skype.
Mm-hmm.
I have readers like in California who I got to visit with.
That's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How did you break into speaking to book groups? Just for listeners who might be wanting to do that themselves. Any tips? Or how did you do it?
are you talking about authors who might want to do it?
Yeah, authors like yourself who might want to get their book read by a book group and speak or Skype. How'd you go about it?
Well, I have on my website, I have a page for book groups, and I have like sample questions for my books,
mm-hmm.
and I also, you know, state that I'm available by Skype.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and I try to, and that fact, that's something I have to do to state that on Facebook. That's something, you know, that I'm available for book groups.
So for your first book, how did you get that mm-hmm. first speaking engagement? Was it someone you knew in the group, or you went cold, like just found a local group to ask? Or?
Well, I do know a lot of groups in the area mm-hmm. since I've been in some of them. but also, I think some were from, especially the Skype ones, were people I went to high school with.
Oh, okay.
Because they all knew that I had published, and so they asked me to speak with their groups.
And what do you do when you're? Because I've never been in a book group that had an author.
Mm-hmm.
What typically happens? Is it that you just read an excerpt, or they just ask you questions, or how's it go typically?
It's mostly questions. Take some questions. I try to encourage them to have, like, every member to have a question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, on my webpage, I have a list of questions, possible questions. But a lot of times it's just very casual, and people talk about their favorite characters. They ask me about writing it, about my writing process, whether I outline or whether I don't outline. They say, you know, they ask, like you asked before, were any of the characters based on real life people I knew?
Just
a lot of fun questions.
And how do you compose the list that you have on your website? Is that questions that came up yourself, questions you've heard others use? Because I find for myself, it's hard to be, you know, self-reflective sometimes, you know, like, what, mm-hmm. you know, what would a reader want to know versus mm-hmm. what I think they should know. Did you have that trouble, or it came to you pretty easily, those questions that you have?
Well, the first book, my publisher composed the questions.
Oh, okay.
And so I think that for the second book, I kind of just modeled them after that,
Mm-hmm.
those questions. You know, they're just mostly, they're usually character driven. Like, why is this character doing this? You know, why is this character this way?
Right. Okay. Have you ever been stumped by one of the questions that you've received?
Well, I guess I'm a little stumped by this question you're asking right now.
My work is done. Good night.
I don't recall really being stumped by something, but I probably was.
Okay.
Just blocked it out.
Let's see. Oh, I misnumbered my questions. But anyway, in reading Moonshine in early, I think it was page 48, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was pretty cool. You had like this meta moment where you're talking about suspects and then red herrings, and then almost to the readers saying how red herrings, you know, don't pan out. I thought that was clever. Is that something that you thought of doing early on, or is that something that just occurred to you later in the revisions, adding something like that where it's kind of like a wink to the reader?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, I can't really remember, actually. whether it was early on or in the revisions, but it probably was early on, though.
Yeah,
it sounds more like
the term red herring referred to anything that misled or distracted, a practice often employed by mystery writers to lead readers astray. So I like that. So, but maybe it's just.
It was probably early on that I put that, but I don't totally remember.
And in craft in general, when you're writing, what do you find most difficult in writing a mystery for you? Is it coming up with the mystery itself? Is it the characters or dialogue, or what element do you find most trouble with?
Setting descriptions are a little more difficult, especially, thankfully, I don't really have to describe, the sky or the hills or, landscape that much. It really isn't that required in the type of writing I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I always find it hard to describe it in a way that that people would actually read. To describe it as different, because there was a mystery writer named Elmore Leonard who died a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, his advice that's often quoted was, don't write the parts that readers skip.
That's right.
And he was very much on dialogue. He and Robert B. Parker were just experts on dialogue. And to me, I enjoy writing dialogue more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, a description, like setting description, is something, just to do very briefly.
Well, dialogue can be tricky. If you use it a lot, then it becomes very important to distinguish one person speaking from the other in the words you choose.
Yes.
Was that something you struggled with if you stripped off the tags on it, he says, she says, and you just had a dialogue, was it challenging so that if someone just read each line, they would know it's this character and not that character?
Well, every few lines, I try to say something that would indicate who it was. I could say, like, Hazel scratched her head, or pulled on her earring, or something like that, just so that you know that it's Hazel.
Right.
It's Hazel speaking right now.
But with dialogue, do you find In that respect, like when you're preparing to write the book, and do you have the characters in your head that the manner of which they speak? So when you write out the dialogue. You know, they have this way of these phrases they often use, or you know, one character speaks very tersely, another is, you know, goes on and on and on. And how would
the dialogue helps to define the characters, and you might want to have a certain dialogue for a character who's maybe not well educated. It's like I had a lot of fun writing the bar scene in Murder at the Moonshine Inn. In fact, I even had a redneck consultant help me with it. Yeah, I did. I had a woman who I used to work with, and she assured me that she was an expert on redneck culture, and that she'd been to many redneck bars and all. And she vetted my chapter for me and advised me about dialogue and also about dress and about, you know, different things, details in the bar, like the football ashtrays and the mason jars and the wet rag, the sopping wet rag. And those were all things that she told me about.
Well, that's very good.
Yeah, it was all, you know, just to get a feeling, you know, for the language. It was a totally different type of language.
Well, it looks like you handled it well as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You probably have been to a lot of redneck bars.
Yeah, you know me. I'm there every other night. Now, with the Hazel series, is it going to go on? Like, is it open-ended, or do you have a set number of books you're going to write for with that character?
Well, I'm writing the third book right now. I'm in this. It's not titled yet. I usually don't come up with a title until I finish. But in it, Hazel, she gets dropped by her publisher. You know, in Murder at the Moonshine Inn, she's a very successful romance writer. But she gets dropped by her publisher, and she decides to become a mystery writer. So she enrolls in a writing class, and she gets some of the book group members to join her in the class. And then when a very obnoxious student is murdered, there are a lot of suspects, including the writing class members and their teacher.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's what I'm writing on writing now, and I also like writing short stories. So I've published three of them, and I got ideas percolating in my mind for a couple more.
What kind of stories are those? Are those also mysteries or a different kind of story?
Let's see. I've written two for the Virginia is for Mysteries anthologies, and then I wrote one for an anthology called 50 Shades of Cabernet.
Clever title.
Yeah. So that's a lot of fun. I write, you know, with the sisters, my sisters in crime group. We've put out three anthologies so far.
Excellent. Very good. That answers Amy's question. Your reader Amy wanted to know what you were working on now. One of your readers, Amy, she had wanted to know what you're working on now, so that answers that.
Okay.
And I guess we'll wrap up. I'll have one more question. What genre would you like to try besides mystery?
What genre besides mystery?
Yeah. Is there any other kind of books you'd like to write?
The only thing I could think of is, romance or literary fiction.
Okay.
Probably those two. But I probably won't do it, though, because I really like mysteries.
Well, good.
So I'll probably stick with them.
It's good to like what you write.
Until I get tired of them. Something else.
Well, it sounds like you're going strong with them, though. You've got your central series plus these short stories and the anthologies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dream is to get published in Ellery Queen or Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I wish you luck on that.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Well, thank you for joining me. You want to plug your website and other ways people can reach you?
Okay, my website is maggieking.com, and I'm on Facebook, Twitter, also LinkedIn, Google Plus. What else is there? Instagram. I'm on Pinterest, but I've kind of abandoned it. I don't know. I just haven't done anything with Pinterest in quite a while. So, and I go to a lot of signings. I go to conferences, and we do signings for 50 Shades of Cabernet at wine festivals and wineries.
Oh, well, that's a great idea. How does that turn out?
Oh, good. It's a lot of fun. There's usually at least three or four of us who are signing together. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of good, author support, and we get to talk to each other and we get to engage with readers and we meet some wonderful people.
Excellent. Well, great. Well, best of luck. And thank you for joining me.
Okay, well, thank you, Josh.
Have a great
thank you, Fran.
You
too. Okay, Josh. Bye.